Hi, I'm Danny.
And I'm Gabby.
And this is Clashes, a podcast exploring culture shock in all its chaotic forms.
We know a good shock can shake things up.
So we blew up our lives and crash landed in Paris.
With a delusional sense of hope.
And a dangerous red habit.
I feel attacked. But culture shock isn't just about changing countries.
Almost. It's about embracing the unknown.
From navigating friendships in your 30s.
Awkward. To processing pop culture's oddest obsessions.
So buckle up and embrace the chaos.
One clash at a time.
Hi.
Welcome back.
It's a mini app today.
Yeah, it is. It sure is. We took a week off. Well, I sort of did.
I felt so strongly that I was going to come over in the morning, the weekday after.
It's hard to plan during the week for sure.
It's hard. And also just like I don't have the chillness of podcast energy. I feel more frenetic when I have to work in the afternoon. I'm sure I come across really calm on here, but.
But yeah, so we took a week off, but we're back. We're doing a mini ep and then we're going to have a guest ep later.
Yeah. So well, I don't know when this will air. I don't know when mini ep will air. But
yeah, but.
Eventually. Just so you understand. So you can understand our moods. You can kind of get into our vibe and understand like what we're feeling in this current moment.
You can see how the sausage is
made. I just spilled.
Oh my God. Please tell people what happened.
I just got to Danny's with all my recording equipment and look in my bag and my snack that I was going to share involved creme fraiche. There is creme fraiche coated all
everywhere.
Over poor Danny. I just made her like wipe out the crevices of every charger. So chargers, converters broken, laptop, we lost power to one plug. So we made this like weird contraption to record this. So I'm just praying that this comes across and the audio works because it's not creme freshified.
I just love how French this accident was. It's like she didn't spill wine. She didn't spill like water. It was creme fraiche.
I actually would have preferred it was probably anything but creme fraiche. I'm not going to lie.
But actually a liquid would
you
probably
more
fuck
of like
it
a
up.
Part
yeah.
Solid. Okay.
I think the fact that it was greasy and like.
I still lost a charger or I lost a plug.
I take it to the Apple store. They might be able to fix it for you.
I'm sure I'm not their first creme fraiche disaster.
I'm sure you're not.
Okay, well, today we are doing, we've been kind of obsessed with this whole TikTok trend of propaganda I'm not falling for.
Which I personally think it's funny. I've seen a lot of people up in arms about this trend.
Wait, why? I didn't know this.
They're like, that's not real propaganda. Like, look at what's happening in the world. And I'm like, can we just have one stupid thing? Yeah, can we have a sense of humor and like just laugh a little bit just for 5 minutes and then we can go back to
it's
like
also
the real
riling
propaganda.
Up a lot of like MAHA stuff. Have you seen this? Like a lot of people are like propaganda I'm not falling for like vaccines.
Oh yeah. I know. I saw well, I haven't seen it because I don't follow any MAHA girlies, but
I didn't think I did. And then I'm like, oh,
you're
so
like
some of y'all are out here.
Yeah. And it's while some of them are like propaganda I'm not falling for sunscreen. Oh. And I'm like,
wait, really?
Yeah, I'm like, good luck.
That was me and my teens.
A lot of people don't believe in SPF.
I do know some people are like, well, we were born to have sun. And I'm like,
yeah, they're like, our ancestors didn't wear it. I'm like, yeah, they also died at 25.
Exactly. And tell that to my dermatologist who like can very clearly see the effects of no sunscreen.
So those are funny in the way that it's like, it's kind of funny because they're insane, but it's kind of sad because you're like, ooh,
yep,
girl.
I know. And there's more and more of them.
Yeah,
ours will be hopefully less controversial, but maybe a little bit controversial. Should I start with my?
Sure.
Okay. Propaganda I'm not falling for is that, drum roll, French men are romantic.
Please elaborate.
I feel like the subway takes guy right now when he's like 100%
oh,
agree.
I'm obsessed.
My friend
him.
Was just on it.
Oh, no way. Which one was hers?
She did. Oh my God. Oh no, she did. Cause it was like for her brand. She had worked for a cat food brand and she did like that
cat
dads are hotter. Yeah.
I actually agree with her.
That's really, that's so funny. Okay. So this is my controversy. Veronica, if you're listening to this, well, she's definitely not. She's listening. This is my one rebuttal is that I have hooked up with guys who have cats before and the whiff of the litter box has made it into the bedroom and it's like the most unpleasant experience of my life. So like cat dads who take care of their cat litter.
But I think it's also like, she was talking more like emotionally.
Yes. I mean, I think any guy who cares for anything, I would venture to say plant dads as well.
Yeah. But I think the cat thing was interesting because cats are not normally very love. Like they are not going to greet you at the door and like bark if you leave.
So
you have
to
work
deal with
for
a difficult
it, you know?
Person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I should date a cat dad. But yeah, I don't think French men are romantic. I think they have a quote unquote version of what romance is, but it's not a version that I find romantic. To me, true romance is being seen, being adapted to, someone really liking you for who you are. A yeah. French man projects an identity onto you 1 second after meeting you and then like strokes your hand and calls you like beautiful and like is obsessed with you for like 1 week and then over you. And they, and for some reason that perception, because they're over dramatic and they basically,
they are dramatic.
They like play as if they are romantic people, but I don't think they have the actual feelings that I associate with romance.
I think they're very passionate and that no, could but sometimes be in confused. Quotes. Yeah, yeah, but it could be confused. Like they're very passionate about like a lot of things slash dramatic, right? So people might be like, oh my god, that's, he's so in tune with his feelings, and I'm like, no, he's just like losing his mind over cheese. It's just not
like, exactly
serious.
He's just over dramatic and has yeah. like really weird like yeah like exactly like if you cut the cheese the wrong way he'll like lose his yeah mind.
Exactly yeah. Like, so to me emotion? But I could see how that could be confused for romance in some ways,
sure, and do... also coming from the US,
yeah,
you know, we're like not allowed to express emotion ever in romance yeah. these days. It's all about who cares less. So like I can see it in comparison, but don't worry, Frenchmen can care less. Like at 1 week when they're bored of you, you can for see sure. just how little they care about you.
For sure, for sure. I agree. I don't think they're more romantic, even though I'm married to a French guy, but he's not, I wouldn't, he's romantic in his own ways. So I don't think it's
probably more
French
in a way
thing.
That's like natural and resonates with you.
Not yeah, like exactly. Like something that works for
you. Roses and kissing your hand and kneeling on the no. ground and like.
Even though I did call him Pepe Le Pew for a while, like jokingly. I was like, that's so Pepe Le Pew of you. And he's like, who?
I'm done. So Pepe.
But yeah.
Okay, what do you got?
All right. French deodorant works.
It's true. There's like a whole thing about like French pharmacy is so good. And sometimes I'm like, caveats.
Yeah. So. They don't work. And here's the thing. I think a lot of people think French people don't care about hygiene / they don't wear deodorant. In my experience, I don't think that's the case because I was a victim of this. Uh-oh. My first summer here, I went to a pharmacy and I grabbed whatever. I didn't even know what brand. I grabbed whatever deodorant, put it on, went out. And 3 hours in, I was like, oh, my God, someone around me smells really bad. No. And I realized it was me. I was so smelly. And then I was like, all right, let me fix this. I was actually meeting Paul and his parents for dinner. I'm like, I stink like shit. So anyway, I go into another pharmacy, buy another brand, put it on,
same thing.
An hour later, I smell again. And then I realize it's whatever formulas they use here, I'm sure they're better for you and they're cleaner, blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. They just don't work.
Mm-hmm. And you haven't trained yourself. Like you're supposed to like train yourself with it, right?
I don't.
It's like for natural deodorants, they tell you like you have to go 2 weeks, you're gonna smell horrible, but well, then after 2 weeks your body.
Same
adapts.
With natural deodorants. I tried that in New York for like yeah. months and no.
You never adapted?
I never adapted.
You've got
I
got a powerful the, scent, girl.
I did, yeah, I did the detox. I put like a clay mask on my armpits. I did
Shut
the
up.
Whole thing.
Oh my
Nothing
God.
Worked.
Okay. Okay.
And
really
so
tried,
now yeah. I go to London to buy my deodorants because it's the only way I can
you
find
told me I wanted to buy you one.
Oh, I buy in bulk. I have like 7 left.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I literally go to, what is that store in London?
The Boots?
Boots, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, so it's not that they don't care that they smell or whatever. I do actually think they wear deodorant. It just doesn't work on them.
Yeah, and you'll know it doesn't work because the metro in the summer here.
You will smell
dear
it.
God.
Yeah.
Dear God. Or like someone will like, you know when they have to like raise their arm up to hold the bar and you're like.
You're just like, yeah, the smells are something for sure.
Okay. My next one is that you have to see the Mona Lisa.
Yeah, I agree. Hard agree.
I think both of us have had very similar experiences here. Okay, first of all, I just have to caveat. I'm not a huge art girl. I love sculptures uh-huh. and I like modern art.
Yeah.
But if it comes to a painting, I don't know. I love the idea of being at a museum, but like I'm not going to get a ton from it. So the thing is, I'm certainly not going to get a ton from it when it's basically the size of a deck of cards.
It's
and
so
it's like
small.
A mile from me on the wall. And you know me with my like neuroatypical behaviors where like if someone is touching me and cramming me in this space and shoving me to get a view, I'm like, absolutely not. I will Google the Mona Lisa. I will light some candles around it and I will have my own shrine to the Mona Lisa on my laptop
it's
covered in creme fraiche.
I mean, I think if it's your first time in Paris, sure, but it's just so crowded for no reason. It's tiny. Now they even put like
guardrails.
Yeah, like a little velvet rope around it so you can't even get close to it. And it's, you literally go there, there's a line of 200 people and it's just people with their phones out. So it's not people that are like admiring it and being like, wow, like look at the strokes or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, but that's they're it. Because I like art when I can see the texture of it and I feel like it's like I can get up close. And I can.
No,
like
it's behind
it.
Plastic, behind a velvet yeah. rope. It's a whole production. If you get there peak hours, which is like all the time in the Louvre, there's a crazy line you have to go through, a crowd of people that are just trying to take a picture. So I get it. If it's your first time in Paris, sure. But there's cooler things to see at the Louvre that are that don't revolve around her.
Yeah.
Sorry, girl.
You know, I was just looking up. Remember the tour we went on? Like, about the, we went for a bachelor party. We went on a history tour of Paris.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it was
yeah.
very like, if anyone's ever seen The Office, it was very like Benjamin Franklin version of The Office vibes. Like, it was great. Us like drinking out of penis straws while this yeah. woman gives us the tour in a costume. But I didn't realize that the Mona Lisa became famous
after it was stolen.
After it was stolen. Yeah. Which is so, like, became more famous. Obviously, it was Da Vinci, so right. it was famous, but it wasn't like cult vibes until after that experience.
Right.
Yeah. Crazy. But
I agree with you.
Cool. Okay, what do you got?
Shopping on the Champs-Élysées is so chic.
Oh my god. Do people actually think it's chic though? I think you're right. People
I think
do.
So. Yeah. I think if you've never been here.
It sounds like something someone like from my hometown would think is chic.
Yeah. And
it's like Champs-Élysées.
It's like I'm so staying like, at the Champs-Élysées yeah. and I'm like, I avoid that place, like the plague. So it's not that it's not chic in the sense like you can find like nice stores. There's a Louis Vuitton store, there's like all the fancy stores.
Is there still an Abercrombie?
Probably.
Remember, it used to be an Abercrombie.
But there's also like, yeah, like there's a Starbucks and yeah. then there's like a Chipotle. Oh,
Mickey D's.
And
there's,
yeah. yeah. So it's like, it's not the French's avenue, I would say. Also, it's full of tourists because at the end of it, that's where Arc de Triomphe is.
Flooded.
And it's not particularly, I mean, I guess it's sort of nice, but not really.
I think they're going to plant trees, aren't they?
Probably. And they're like planting trees everywhere right now. Yeah. But it's just like,
again, that would make it prettier.
It's not like a pretty walk, in my opinion. It's not no. like an
it's
avenue that you're
from
like
far. Whoa. Like if you zoom out, because
yeah, if you go on
before,
top of the Arc de Triomphe.
Oh, that's
yeah.
right. But even the other way, like if you come from, I think it's the Obelisk or whatever. Uh-huh. If you come from the other way, like it's a cool
from
view
Concord, yeah.
at it. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But once you're on it, it's like you're next to a McDonald's and there's like
yeah, it's like all this chain stores, like big chains. So it's not like you're gonna be like, I got these shoes from this boutique that owned by a man for 100 years. Like, no, you're gonna go to Starbucks,
right? Agree.
And maybe like Louis Vuitton if you have the budget, but there's nothing crazy. So and again, like I wouldn't even stay there if I was traveling because I know a lot of people are like, I'm staying the Champs-Élysées, and I'm like,
I mind one of the bougie hotels.
Oh yeah, of course.
Off the sides, like you know that place we went for this. We went to a journalist. Oh no, you weren't there.
Oh, I wasn't there, but I know.
Networking
yes.
thing, and like the streets off the side are yeah. nice, and some bougie places. But if I was like directly on it, no, I wouldn't want to be.
But even that
on
that
it.
Neighborhood is not like
no,
crazy.
But at least it's like
yeah. Parisy, I'm just saying, you know, Champs-Élysées is not the place you want to be. Necessarily,
it's not the place you want to be.
Agreed. Is not the worst place in Paris.
What do you recommend when people ask where to stay? What do you tell them? Are you telling them like hipstery stuff?
Yeah, I say Le Marais is like very centrally located where everything is. So sure,
okay, you do say that.
It's just very touristy as well. The Ninth, if you're looking for a mix of touristy and local, and also like pretty central, you can walk to Montmartre and stuff yeah. like that. The 18th, I love because to me it feels very like what people think Paris is. Like
but
it looks very picturesque.
Not all of it, Montmartre.
Okay. Well, yeah, yeah, of course, yeah, yeah. yeah. And then, I mean, I
told
think
to stay on Barbez.
Can you imagine? And I think the 10th and the 11th are cool and they're more local.
See, this is overwhelming. But like, this is what every time I want to explain to someone, I'm like, God, man, it depends. Like,
I always ask like what kind of vibe, like my friend's parents, when they ask me and I'm like, stay in the 5th because it's parents.
Yeah.
The 5th is beautiful.
You have a million hotels in yeah. the 5th. It's so weird.
It's beautiful. There's a lot of hotels. It's a little more affordable than other parts and it's pretty walkable. And it feels like if you're a parent,
yep.
I feel like it feels like. Yeah. You know, you
how
would like
dare you.
No, but it's true. Like I'm not gonna tell my friends' parents to stay in Pigalle. They're gonna be like, why
no,
are
they
selling
I think
sex
they could
toys
stay in
here?
Parents could stay in Marais too.
Marais too, but Marais could be loud.
Yeah. My parents stayed in the 6 and I think it really worked
the
for
six,
them. But
seven,
it's more expensive.
Yeah, 5, 6, 7 is very parent friendly, I feel. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Go for it.
Okay. This is we probably talked about this before, but it kind of is like a perpetual pet peeve for me that French women are effortless. Now oh, I'm gonna be mean. How mean can I be?
You should be. We need a scandal.
Oh yeah, Danny was telling us the other day we need a scandal. I feel like we've really milked the mean comment
to promote the podcast. I mean, we need to get like in a feud with someone.
I just don't. First of all, I don't think they are. Like, I think they take a lot of care of their skin. I have talked to French women about like their weight. Like, I don't think them being skinny is always effortless. I think they're smaller people, but I think they pay a lot of attention to maintaining the smallness. I think, yeah, if you consider the sense of style that was given no effort, effortless, sure.
Yeah. No, I fully agree.
I don't think their sense of style could be defined as effortless because it's not like effortlessly chic. I know we had a podcast up on this, but yeah. like, it's just kind of just like effortless. Like, there was like no effort put into it. In a way that's like doesn't look cool to me. I don't know. A French woman can critique me. I obviously don't have that many friends, but that's my hot take.
No, yeah. I agree. I think again, it's like a marketing thing that they sold French style as effortlessly chic. I do think they're really good at classic style. So maybe that's, again, where the confusion lies, where like they're really good at like wearing staples.
To me, the older women are fantastic.
But I think they're
the younger women?
No. But I think the older women are cool because they don't give a fuck.
Yeah, but then they actually have cool clothes on.
Yeah, but the younger women wear the same shit.
Classics. You mean like
jeans and a white shirt?
But I don't think those are even nice basics.
I mean, but it's not groundbreaking. That's what I'm saying. Like, they're not reinventing the wheel. They're
best
just like
jeans I'd ever seen in the crispest white T-shirt with the best cut. I think you said something
like that is, again, why everyone is confused. They're just skinny.
Oh, yeah. They're just skinny.
And it's again, are you stylish or are you just skinny? That's like the conversation we get into it. So again, I think it's a matter of perception, and I think we're confused, and we've been marketed like they've marketed the effortlessly chic style as being French. When you see a lot of French women, sure, they might be stylish, or sure, they might be really good at putting an outfit together. But then you also have to look at it from the perspectives, like, is that actually an interesting outfit or are you just skinny?
Right. Okay. Is yours as mean as mine, your next one?
It could be.
I'm going to have someone attack me for my sense of style on the internet. They're going to be like, shut the fuck up. Where do you think you get off?
No, I'm going to talk about croissant hybrids.
Oh my God.
We've talked about
here,
this
here in New York.
Before.
Where? They're so
here. Yeah. Well, okay. New York is out of control.
New York is truly. You know what? Just want to say, I feel like we called that.
We did.
Before the articles came out, before. I guess Jay, my favorite anonymous critic, did have like a mention of it. But then before that whole article came out, I think it was like an Eater or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or but Bloomberg. Also, no, it was Bloomberg. I think it was
Kat. I don't know. But also it's like, okay, I love the fact that Paris has become more international and the fact that there's like all these things that we have access to now. But I'm like, I don't want Paris to become New York.
Right.
Agreed. And I feel like we're getting there.
Oh, I would say the last 6 months have been like hyper speed. It's crazy. We've gone into overdrive in terms of I'm a little bit nervous.
Yeah. And like they open a Wingstop.
Wait.
Yeah.
You know what's so funny? I didn't know that. And then the other day I walked past it and I was floored.
Yeah.
Have you been there before?
No, but I'm not above it. I want to go.
Me too. I know.
But
also,
I'm also
my new Popeyes obsession. I'm like obsessed with Popeyes recently.
But again, I'm like, I love that we have access to these things. But at one point I'm like, enough is enough.
Right.
You know, we don't need all these things because I don't want this to become New York 2.0. And the croissant hybrid kind of feels like the beginning of the end in that sense. Like,
because, I mean, even Sutani in her book was talking about the first time.
Yes, that she made a croissant
and her
sandwich.
Was like,
and
bastardized
her
croissant. Was like literally mad at her.
Exactly. Yeah. So to me, I'm like, okay, like there are some that are like, okay, this is funny. This is viral. Like it's seasonal, whatever.
What's the most abhorrent one you've seen recently?
Well, I really hate that huge one. That bakery.
Yeah.
Actually, we should go try it. But anyway. Yeah. That huge one that it's clearly made for Instagram. Because why else would you make a giant croissant?
The other day I saw a girl and she was at lunch and she like had half of it eaten in the bag next to her. And I'm like, it's something about it seeing. She was so defeated by it and I couldn't finish. It was so funny.
But again, and listen, I don't want to like shit on anyone. If buying a giant croissant makes you happy, go for it.
Yeah.
I just think like we're going too far and we're getting some like hybrids and I'm like, who asked for this? Like,
especially when the actual core product is so fantastic.
It's so good. Why are we fucking with it?
I know. It's funny to me because I actually find the way that Sutanya did it in her book, Dinner for One, if you haven't read it, which is, you know, like an
she
egg,
made like
bacon,
a breakfast
avocado.
Sandwich.
I'm like,
fine.
That sounds amazing. Yeah. And actually sounds exactly what a croissant should be used for. So that's what I find a little, I mean, I get that you maybe don't taste the nuance of, but I grew up doing that with croissants.
No,
I was making like turkey
sandwiches. That's fine. But the problem is when it becomes like a parody almost.
Yes.
And when it becomes, like I said, like we're only making this for Instagram or for social media because you're only attracting this market, right? And I think the problem is they took a cue. They saw what New York was doing and they said, wait, can I have a line at the door if I do something crazy like a fucking cookie croissant or whatever the fuck? And it worked and they did it and they're like, great, this is going to be what we're going to do. So now everyone's like trying to like.
Is it working? I guess it must be working.
Yes. The boulangerie by my house that did the crookie, they were the first ones to do it.
They had a line?
all the time. Now it's died down because the hype is gone. But again, you're not creating a product that's sustainable in the sense that this is not going to be something people are going to want to eat all the time. When the buzz and the TikTok stop, people are going to stop lining up for it. And that's exactly what's happening. No one goes there anymore.
So weird. It's like crazy how like how much of a flash in the pan it is.
And to me, it's like I am all okay if you're going to do a hybrid that actually makes sense, like a sourdough croissant. And I'm just making that up. I don't even know if that's a thing.
Does that exist?
I don't know. But I'm like, that's actually interesting to me. But I don't want you to like do something chef random. Over here. And be like, we're just going to put like sprinkles in the croissant. And it's like a sprinkle. I don't know, like random shit.
I was trying to look at this New York. It was a Bloomberg article by Kat O'Dell. Since when did everything become a croissant? It's about New York. But I was trying to look at the variations.
There's one that shook me that I saw in, I forgot where it is. It's somewhere in Williamsburg. This bakery that makes a croissant tuna melt.
Wait, that's what. You guys, the paywalls, we've gotten out of control. Let me read one croissant article. Bloomberg, I love you, but you gotta let me into one. but I think there's a tuna in here.
But it wasn't.
I think there's a lobster roll one here.
It did not look appetizing.
It you don't looked think that would insane. Be good? I think anything would be good in a croissant. Now, am I going to go out of my way? I feel like if I had croissants.
I think tuna is where I draw the line.
Tuna.
Yeah. Tuna is a tuna melt croissant. Tuna. I don't know. I feel like this is where we're getting into territory where it's like, just because it might work doesn't mean we have to do it.
Yep.
So that's kind of how I feel about it. Just because it might
work doesn't mean we have to do it. Well, guys, check out the article. Tell us what you think.
We'll tag it.
The options they have in there. Cool. Okay. I am doing that it's ever worth lining up for French food. I actually do feel really strongly about this one because I've been coming here since I was a kid. My parents have been taking us like bistro, brasserie vibe since I was a kid.
Yeah.
I believe that you can get at more of the humble bistro brasseries some of the best French food meals that don't require.
I agree.
Same with boulangeries. I know my favorite Maison d'Isabelle has been hyped up, but it used to be like a kind of nothing boulangerie. And for me, Best Tradition in Paris. I just don't think I'm not going to say the name of the place, but I waited an hour last night to eat at a trendy, I guess it's like a French whatever fusion of other cultures. I say like French Italian fused.
Yeah.
And it was fine. You know, it's just, I would rather have like a beef bourguignon at a hole in the wall brasserie that makes it really well, or a poulet roti. And I just don't ever see it being worth it. And frankly, I'll extend this as far as like, I don't really see it being worth lining up for almost all food, but I think specifically French food. I just think you can find it in humble places
that
don't require you to go through this like hoopla. Same with waiting like 6 months for a res. It's just like worth it.
Yeah. I agree. And I think the Maison Isabelle thing is a great example because it's like a random boulangerie. Like random in the sense of like it's just a boulangerie. They don't even have like expensive prices. It's just like
it's so wild. And to be fair, it's good, but it's just like there's probably a lot of other good ones that I just don't have the energy until we have my baguette party that I want to have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we had the croissants. I mean, I had them for the first time. You brought them over a few weeks ago.
They were good, but it's like
they're really good.
Yeah.
So is the baguette. But again, I'm not gonna line up for an hour for this because the boulangerie in my neighborhood probably has like croissants that are just as good. But it's just so funny how like we pinpoint or we pick like three or four places in Paris and they become like the places.
This is a bigger conversation, but like people love to hype stuff up. I think they love, I want to psychologically understand why. It's like, why did I wait an hour last night? It's like, I get curious.
I think when it comes to those places, it's driven by tourism a lot because these bloggers or whatever are telling you to go to the same three places. So, and people want to be told where to go, right? So they're going to go to the same three places. There's going to be a line and there's going to be hype. So.
And they want to have the clout of being like, where did you go? It's like, yes. I went to this place. Like,
and then you go back to New York and you're like, I just came back from Paris. Oh my God, the croissants from Maison Isabelle are incredible. And everybody's like, oh, she must know her shit, right? So I think it's kind of like a vicious cycle, you know? It starts with the internet and it becomes like, part of your personality.
I have to prove that I have, I know. I'm always trying to find like what the right balance is. I was talking with a friend yesterday about Michelin restaurants and she's been to a ton.
Yeah.
And she was saying, no matter how many I go to, the best food for me is always going to be some sort of version of a comfort food. And she's like, I basically had every fancy meal you can imagine. And cause she traveled a lot and she was like, yeah, I think I just sometimes would prefer like a really good burger, you know?
That's why I like to take advice from actual food, right? People who are like eating for a living because they're exposed to so many different kinds of like food and cuisines and restaurants. Yeah. And I really trust their opinion because they've tried it all.
Yeah.
And this kind of brings me into my propaganda, which is also kind of mean. Since you were mean, I'm going to go mean.
Yeah, go mean.
Okay. The influencers that come to Paris, like once or twice in their lives, and not they spend 3 days in Paris, and they're like, should I share my food guide with you? And I'm like, bitch, you've been here for 3 seconds. How do you have a food guide already? And they're going to put like the same, like the Maison Isabelle's, and they're going to put like the same hyped up places.
Yeah, and they're going to put wherever. This is exactly to the point you were saying. Like, they're going to put wherever they went, but they're not going. Someone, so I used to work in restaurant PR, and we used to have to like review the chef's menu, and I was like, what the fuck am I doing? I'm like 12 and I eat like Tostitos lime for dinner every night. And someone said to me once that the key to knowing how to review food is to have the same dish 3 times.
Oh.
And after you have it 3 times, you start to really be able to understand the nuance of that specific dish. Now, someone who comes to Paris, like, they're not having 3 beef bourguignons. So like, how are they going to tell you I had an amazing beef bourguignon at this one place? Unless throughout the course of their life, they've had a bunch of beef bourguignon.
But like, that's what I'm saying. If you come to Paris twice, like, I'm not saying you can't create content and say like, this is where I want, but I'm like,
or that you can't say like, I really love the vibe here. Like, yeah. I thought that's fine, but it should be like the best X in Paris. Yes. That kind of phrasing to me is like,
and insane. To me, I'm like, again, why would I trust you? You've been to Paris twice and you've gone to the same place the 2 times you've been here. You haven't explored anything outside.
You know, we're going to have to take this to heart now when we travel next time. No more lists. You're the one with the Substack.
I mean, but I would never be like, I always tell people I've been to Copenhagen. Here's where I went. And I'm very honest. I'm like, this place was really good, or this place wasn't that good. And I got this from the fooding or whatever. But I would never, like, I've been to Copenhagen twice and I wouldn't call myself a Copenhagen expert. You know what I mean? I'd be like, hey guys, here's everywhere you need to go, according to me, who has been there twice, you know? So that's kind of like, I understand, because Paris is very much like New York in that sense that people feel ownership of the city, even though they've been here twice. And I think that's lovely. And I don't want to take that away from people, but just because you've been here twice, that doesn't make you a Paris expert. And that's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Leave it to the Paris experts.
And that's by that all I'm mean, saying. Uh-oh.
No. And by that, I mean like food writers.
Yeah.
Or people who live here.
Yeah.
And they will be able to tell you, because if they live here, they've tried different
things. I mean, this is a problem with the internet. This is a problem with performed confidence. This is a problem with clicky headlines, yada, 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 yada. It's like, yeah. I don't know if we're ever going to get rid of this.
I don't want to tell people to stop posting, because I work in social, so content is great. But, you know, stay in your lane.
Grain of salt. Frame it or just like have some caveats when you do it. Cool. Well, I think you can probably guess what one of mine's going to be. My favorite subject. I'm not falling for the propaganda that French people try to tell me. This is a little bit different. Uh-huh. Not propaganda about France, but that French tries to tell me that snacking is bad for me.
I fully agree. I feel like the guy from the subway.
Literally, the way you did that is like literally your
fully
him.
Agree.
100%
agree. 100%
agree. It's crazy. It's like, I actually grew up with a dad who was like a big 5 small meals a day kind of guy. Uh-huh. I grew up with, first of all, my stomach hurts all the time. I can't eat a ton of food at once. I can eat a ton of food within a day.
I know. Last time I saw you, I'm like, why are you leaving? She's like, my stomach hurts.
You know, I walked home because my stomach hurts so bad that I was like, if I have to lay down right now, I'm going to die. No. I walked home from the 18th to the 5th.
That's crazy.
I had the worst stomach ache. And I just like, I'm not used to eating big quantities of food. I like to eat small several times a day, like every
That's
3 hours.
To be the healthiest.
It's better for me.
Yeah.
So shut the fuck up. I'm sorry. But like, I can't handle it. Like my ex, the way that he would judge me for
snacking, your French,
my
ex?
French ex,
okay,
was so obnoxious. And
how did the Italians feel about it?
I don't know. He doesn't exist anymore.
Okay, sorry.
I'm just kidding. No, he was more of a snacker.
Okay.
He would have like a full thing of focaccia and he'd be like, it's just a snack. And I'm like, that's an entire
that's
meal.
A meal.
So I don't know what you're talking about. But I just don't get it. And we've talked about this on the podcast before, but on the commercials here, if it's for food, at the bottom of the screen, they'll have a little section that says like,
snacking is bad for you.
Literally be like, snacking is bad for you. There's like a little asterisk.
But that to me makes no sense, because to me, an apéro is kind of like a snack.
It is, but they're also so strict about that. I got in a fight. I think I also talked about this. I got in a fight with my French boyfriend because I wanted to have apéro at like 5. I love apéro, by the way. It was it's been my best discovery since moving here. And he was like, no, we have to wait till 6. I was like, why? He's like, that's just when we do apéro. And I was like, seriously, like, shut up. Like, these rigid rules are giving eating disorder.
Weird.
I find it so obnoxious. I can't stand the snacking thing.
The snacking thing is weird. I don't understand that either.
Yeah. Even and the Sue Tawney talks about that in her book, too. She's like, she tried to get food between 3 and 7. And they were like, we don't eat between those hours. It's like, okay.
I wonder how the Spanish feel about it, because Spanish have like tapas. Oh, yeah. And they also have aperitivo. And I'm like, you guys eat so much. I don't know how they feel about it, to be honest. I feel like they're always eating. But I'm like,
that's a really good question.
I mean, yeah. The Italians have aperitivo. The French have aperol. So I was like,
you know, the Italians like give you a full, if you go for a drink before dinner, they'll serve you like for free, especially in the south of Italy, like an entire plate of little tapas snacks.
Yeah, that's how it is. And same in some Spanish places, because now in Madrid, Barcelona, I think you don't get free tapas anymore.
The south of Italy literally still does it, which blows my mind.
I think some places in Madrid, there was a place when I used to live in Madrid, I was a broke college student called, I think it's called El Tigre, and they would literally give you like a paella as a tapa. And so it's great because you're paying €5 for a beer or less, and you were getting a paella with it.
Wow.
And I was like, I love this place. But yeah, I fully agree. Snacking is, I'm not telling you have to snack like,
no, we're not holding a gun to your insane snack. It's just like you're allowed to snack.
Yes. And you're snacking already because you're doing Aperol. So shut up.
That's it. You close out the segment.
And I'll close it out with propaganda I'm not falling for is iced coffee is just for Americans. It's not. It's for everyone.
Everybody
it's
likes things kind of cold, okay?
It's universal. And I invite you to try it, even if you're not American. I know that is a clear indicator of if you're walking in the street in Paris and you see a person with an iced coffee, it's probably an American person. Yes, that is true. But what I am trying to create here is world peace. And I want everyone to participate. And maybe that way, if everybody gets into the cold brew iced coffee, you know, bandwagon, we'll be able to get better iced coffee in Paris. Even though it's gotten better, I will say it's gotten much better. And there's places that
they always
really
serve it in
job.
A paper cup.
Or like, yeah, yeah. Well, no, it depends. I think you need to know where to go.
That. It's like a paper cup that like melts into my hands.
With the two ice cubes they give you.
Unbelievable.
But if you are desperate for a good iced coffee in Paris, just go to a Greek place and get a café frappé. That's my tip for you. Okay. Or go to a hipster coffee shop. You're going to pay €7 for it, but you're going to get good iced coffee.
If you want it that badly.
But yeah, that's my last one.
Okay, cool. Wow. Yeah, well, you didn't even get, you didn't even, I didn't even get to air conditioning.
Oh, well,
that's we'll save that for part two.
Next time.
Okay, bye guys. Message us with what you think.
What propaganda you're
not
falling for.
Yeah. Jinx.
Bye. This was Clashes,
a podcast brought to you by two idiots.
Clearly. I don't know if I can laugh on cue.